Father, and just worship you. We thank you for your word that you teach us and show us the depths of who you are and how we walk in faith, trusting you. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through the word. We thank you. Continue to stir and speak to us through the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just give you honor and glory. And I pray, God, that you would just at this time just open our hearts to your word, and God, that we could see the truths you lay before us. I pray you anoint me with the Holy Spirit, that I can just speak words of the Spirit that would be penetrating, that would encourage others to look deep in the word and see what you have to say. So I give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are in the book of Romans. The book of Romans we've been going through. I want to start off this morning looking at Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. And it says this: I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, has systematically presented to us in Romans chapter 1 through 14 the full scope of the Christian life. And so this is something I've repeated every week just so we, you know, drive it home so that we remember that. He is unfolding, systematic, unfolding. And so what he says in one place and what he says in another place is built off of what he just said. And so this is what we have right here. So here we are towards the end of the book. It is really most fitting for Paul to say what he's saying right now. You have chapters 1 through 14. Therefore, I can say, Paul saying, therefore I can say is most fitting now that you are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Now, why are we able to instruct one another? Because of chapters 1 through 14. He didn't start chapter 1 of Romans with this verse. No one should preach this verse or try to encourage someone in this verse or take hold and embrace this verse unless there is some understanding of chapters 1 through 14. That's the context of this verse. I knew a man once, a gentleman, he sort of mentored me in a way. This was his verse. This was his verse. You know, and he would just preach that to me. Now, I appreciate what I learned from him, but as I look back, I can look at him, I said, you know, brother, you should have been teaching me chapters 1 through 8. I mean, I couldn't handle this verse. There wasn't, you know, I tried to, but it just wasn't working for me. And so it's just a, you know, it's a understanding we have here that God has equipped us. He has given us equipment. And I remember this brother saying this word, that the word he loved here was instruct. Instruct. You never hear me say a Greek word because I just don't. You know, I just see it and I'll tell you what it is. But I know what this one is. It's noutheo. Noutheo, instruct. You know why I know that? He said 1,000 times to me. Okay. I didn't know how to do this, but I knew what that word meant. Okay. So, noutheo. So, instruct here means, the word, it actually literally means to put in one's mind. So, you're able to put in one's mind. So he is satisfied that we are, you know, full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to put in one's mind. What are we putting in one's mind? Based on Romans chapters 1 through 14. See, that's why it's there. He said, now you can do this, help put into one's mind. And this word, instruct, it's more than just imparting information. It reflects the impressing the reality of the truth. You got the whole, you know, arms around the whole thing of the reality of the truth and how to make it work. So that's how that word has a broad meaning there. And so it's reflecting that reality of the truth. Oswald Chambers, if any of you have his devotions, he made a comment about this, which I thought was really good, about instructing people, is this word indicates. And he said, quoting from Oswald Chambers, he says, deal with people where they are until they begin to realize their true need. Isn't that just sweet? You know, you're not hammering people or, you know, back them into a corner. It's like, no, deal with people where they, okay, we got a, in our language that we've since we've been going through, we have a chapter 3 Christian, we say, God bless you, you know, where they are, and then you walk with them until they realize their need, and then you're able to share and hold the standard of Christ. You have a chapter 7 Christian, you know. Okay, you come alongside, and you're sharing with them that they realize their need, and then you can share the truth of Christ. See, there's a way to it, to do this. Fascinating. Now, so Paul says the same thing in Colossians. You can turn there if you want to flip there, or you can just listen. In Colossians 3, verse 16, he says the same thing. He says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, from Romans, you know, from Book of Romans, he'd say, let chapters 1 through 14 dwell in you richly. But this is in Colossians. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. Now, admonishing is probably what your Bible says, but the word's instructing. It's I said it once, I can't say it. Netheo. He said, so you instruct. It's the same word. It's the same word used in Romans. So it says, teaching and instructing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. That's how you instruct them. See, the thought here is that under the influence of the word of Christ, Christians are to instruct one another. Then using psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, they are to sing with gratitude in their hearts to God. The person that we're instructing or is so excited about what you shared about what Christ has to say, it's just like breaking out in praise and songs. That's what it's saying. I mean, how many times have you been instructed that way? Where you felt like breaking out into praise, you know? Or maybe you felt like breaking out into something else, but you see what I'm saying? So God is really telling us how to handle this, and so it's understanding who God is, what He says, and sharing it. People are so encouraged. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. They're not beat down. They're not judged. They want to break out and praise. But you, like Oswald Chambers says, you meet them where they are. You walk with them till they see their need, and then you encourage them to satisfy that need through the Scriptures. Amen? It's at the end. Okay, this is at the end of the Book of Romans, at the end of the Book of Romans. Now, the church, here's the church body, the church should be stocked with good instruction and teaching, just as a palace is filled with treasure. That's the way the church should be. In this context, you know, that any time there's any instruction, people just want to break out into praise. Oh my. See, that's how the Lord is presenting that. Now, here's something else, and I haven't mentioned this before, but in Romans, Paul is not referring to pastors and elders, although they're certainly included. He's not writing like he writes in the other letters, and he'll go, you know, and he'll talk to the deacons and to the pastors, and here's the responsibilities of the pastors, and there are all sorts of things. That's not Romans, doesn't do that. Romans is written to every Christian. And the idea, I read some different things, when Paul wrote this letter, that the church in Rome probably didn't have many pastors and teachers. They were just sharing Christ and everybody's loving Jesus, you know. And so he's writing to all the believers. So this book is not necessary to pastors and elders. Of course, we're included. But the point, it's for all Christians. That's who he's talking to here. So he's referring to all committed to Christ. We are to hold forth the word of God. All those committed to Christ are to hold forth the word of God. We are very confident, all believers be very confident, but we're never a know-it-all. We're not. We are compassionate, encouraging one another, walking in harmony with one voice, glorifying God. That's the reason you share someone, and you're going, they see their need, and you share with them, and they thought, oh my, they glorify God. See, that's the whole focus here on this book and where it's coming from. And so we need to take that into our hearts as we are able to share the truth with other people. And the key to instruction is showing people how they can hear God through the Holy Spirit as Paul has instructed in chapters 1 through 14. See how it's all fit? The book, you have the word on the page, but it's alive. It's a spiritual word. And it's a spiritual word that God speaks to us, transforms us, flows through us, that it becomes on our lips, and through the power of the Holy Spirit we share. And so we teach other people to hear God when they read the scriptures, where it becomes a part of them, and it flows from within them. Y'all with me? Amen? So that's how it all fits together, and that's how this verse is really poignant where Paul puts it at the end of the book. At the end of the book. Now, we there? Good? Amen? I mean, this is where God is bringing us as a church, you know, and I'm talking church universal. This is what's supposed to happen within a body. And it's, you know, you go back to chapter 14, it's like, what about all these people? You know, they're coming in here, they don't. You're supposed to show genuine love, encourage them, bring them along. See, that's already been covered. Now he says this, because it's already been covered, about what do you do about people just all over the map, and they come in the church. Well, he's told us already. See, now he's telling us, now you are able to put in their mind, let walk with them, they see their need, then put in their mind what God has to say, and they'll just praise Jesus for what you shared. That's where it is. Now, here is the flow. We have it. Now, well, the flow is interesting here. Now it comes out, and Paul shares personally. Paul shares personally. But I believe what he shares now afterwards, that he shares personally, he shows how he himself, now this is the teacher telling the church, he shows how he himself served as an avenue to accomplish what God's purposes are with God as his instructor. Okay, are you with it? So he tells us how he does this. Paul is just about to tell us how he does this. You all ready? I want you to look at Romans 15, 18, and 19. Romans 15, 18, and 19. Here's what Paul says. Paul, now, well, I always kind of kid around that and talk about, you know, you don't have to have some higher education or anything like that to read the scriptures. And these guys were fishermen. They came and God used it, changed the world. And that's to be an encouragement to people, especially like me, all right? But Paul wasn't one of those people. Paul was brilliant, all right? As far as education at the time, he was the highest level of education. As far as the Jewish society, and the Jewish are known to be, that, you know, have a handle on instruction and the Bible and everything else, as Pharisees, he was a Pharisee. He calls himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm as good as all the rest of those guys. So that's how he came up. The Apostle Paul, by everybody's estimate, absolutely brilliant. Okay? Probably had most of the Old Testament memorized. That's who he was, all right? And so here we have him as he's writing this out, you know, expressing this out. His spiritual capacity is off the charts, but his mental capacity is also off the charts, all right? So we just recognize this guy's sharp. Okay? This guy's sharp. Now, he's going to tell us something about how he operates. He's going to tell us something, how he operates. And he's written this whole book. Now here's insight in how he takes what he teaches and taught us, and this is how he operates. Romans chapter 15, 18 through 19. For I will, Paul's saying, for I, Paul, will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Okay? Now this is he says this is how I function. This is how I function. He says that he will not speak anything except what God has accomplished through him. And just ask, what is he speaking about? What he did? How smart he is? Now, I'm going to tell you what God has done through me. God has accomplished something through me. This happened, but it accomplished because God did it. And that's what I'm telling you. This is something God accomplished through me. God works through Paul. Amen? God works through us. Amen? Amen. He works through us. Paul hears God and then does what God tells him. Likewise, we hear God and do what God tells us. So what happens here, as we see in this picture, you've got Paul, the brilliant of the most brilliant. And you have some of these other apostles, based on what other people said about them, they're not the sharpest tool in the shed. Okay, they're just not. But Paul tells this one, God tells this one who's not the sharpest tool in the shed, this is what you want to do. This is what you need to do. And he does it, and great things happen. God tells Paul, the smartest of the smart, what to do. And he does it, and God does great things. There's no difference. There's no difference in the two of them. You see? So the point of it is to come to a place where you hear from God and you do what God says. Beyond. It doesn't make any difference. You know, I shared the testimony about the guy that cleaned floors in the hospital so he could share the gospel with all the AIDS patients. God told him to do that. And he did it. You know. Yeah. He did it. And I've talked to people. They're absolutely brilliant. I talked about Bill Wright. Okay, I talked about Bill Wright. You know, and how smart he was. He was the valedictorian at UVA. You know, I think it's hard to get in UVA. He's a valedictorian at UVA. Then he went to Harvard Law School. Then he became an Oxford scholar. And God told him, I want you to go to China and open up a law office. No difference from the guy cleaning the floors in the hospital, and no difference with the lawyer that graduated from Oxford. They're no different. God spoke to this one, and God spoke to this one, and he did what God says. So both of them are going to stand before God, and they're going to tell Bill Wright, man, you're smart, buddy. You know? Tell this other guy, hey, you did okay. You know, you didn't. Don't have much education. No, they're both going to stand before God and say, you did what I said, Bill, right? And you did what I said when I told you to clean the floors in the hospital. You did what I said. And your responsibility to me is to do what I said. And the ones who are exalted in heaven are the ones who do what God said. See? So there's the picture. So Paul is telling us, When you look, this is what he is telling us about himself. This is what he's telling him about himself. See, so we need to learn to hear God and do what he says. And then what we've learned as we walk with people, part of our, you know, putting in their mind is you need to hear God, what he says, and then to obey him, what he says. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's the goal. Now, thus, Paul, doing what God told him, and he uses the words here, God confirmed Paul's actions. Okay, he told Paul what to do. He did it. All right, that's what you said. Did it. Then he confirmed Paul's actions with power of signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power came because Paul did what he was told. That's it. There's the truth. There's the truth of the whole thing. And so what we see here is God giving us an indication. You got chapters 1 through 14. Now hear what he says to you. Be obedient, and I'll do everything that's necessary to confirm what I just told you to do. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. Your point is to do what I told you and step out into that. It doesn't mean step out into that. No, do what I told you. When I tell you to step out, you step out into that, and then I will confirm your obedience for doing what I told you to do. Amen? That's what's being said here. That's what's being said here. Now, amen. We got that? We got that? Well, here's something. Paul was behaving, hearing God and doing what he said, Paul was behaving just as Jesus behaved. He did just what Jesus did. Jesus only did what God told him to do. Wow, look at Jesus. He did this, and he did. But he only did what God told him to do. And then God confirmed his message with power, signs, and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. God told Jesus to do something. He did it, and he confirmed it with power. Miracles by the Holy Spirit. Just like Paul. Just like Paul. Look, if you will, at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts 2, 22. Now, he had one of the apostles addressing the people of Israel. Now, this is Acts chapter 2. The church is just starting, all right? Acts 2, 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Now, I don't know where you're reading or what you're looking at. What did he just say? Jesus of Nazareth, what? A man. Now, this is the apostles. Jesus has been resurrected. He's talked to the apostles. But in this statement, they said, you hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him. Just like God did through Paul. Paul and Jesus did the same thing. Heard God, did what he said, then God did power, signs, and wonders through them because they were obedient to what God told them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. This man, you saw him. You saw him. Then would you listen to this? Jesus, as perfect man, only did what God told him. Now listen, Jesus as the perfect man only did what God told him. How can you be a perfect man to do what God told you? and Jesus was perfect. Now, he was perfect. And see, Jesus came to earth. Now, first of all, Jesus is God. Amen? I'm not skipping over that. Minor detail. Okay? That Jesus was God. But he came to earth. He came to earth as a man. And he lived as a perfect man. He lived as man was intended to be. Jesus, and here you have the thing of the Trinity, here you have the thing of incarnation. Did Jesus sin? No. Why? Because he was God. All right? But he is God. He also lived as a perfect man, as man should live. He showed us what a perfect man looked like. Did we need Jesus to come and show us what God looked like? No, we have the whole Old Testament. We have salvation. We have everything. No, we're looking at God and go, whoa, you know? So Jesus didn't come to show us God. Jesus came to show us man. This is what man is supposed to look like. He behaved as man was intended to behave. And then, as man, sinless, he went to the cross and took our sins so that we could be before God sinless before God because of the price Jesus paid as a man. Are you all with me? Now, so it's like, oh my goodness, but this is, so you see the picture here, and you even look at what Jesus said in several verses here in John 5:30. Here's Jesus says this. John 5:30, I can do nothing of my own. Oh, come on. Get out of here. Get out of here. He goes, I can do nothing on my own. Then it goes on and says, I only do what the Father tells me. Jesus comes up to you and says, I can do nothing on my own. Well, that puts me in a bad shape. I mean, really? But that's why I can do nothing. I only do what the Father tells me. I heard a guy, I was actually watching television. He said, if Jesus can do all this, why didn't he go in the hospital? Why couldn't he go in the hospital and just heal all the sick? You'd answer that. God didn't tell him to go in the hospital and heal all the sick. Why don't you go in the hospital and heal all the sick? God didn't tell me to go in the hospital and heal all the sick. I mean, I'm just trying to hang in what I know, what he tells me. You see? And so God says, I want you to be who I made you to be. Hear me and do what I say and step, and then you're going to see me work in a powerful way through you. But I'm going to work in a powerful way through you because you're listening to me. And so when it happens, so when you see God do great things through you, you go, oh man, look at that. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to get a selfie on that one, man, put it on Facebook. It's like you go, oh my goodness, Lord Jesus, look what he did. Oh Lord, did you see what the Lord did? You're in fearful awe because what he just accomplished through you. Do you see the attitude? The whole So in Acts, Paul's behaving like Jesus, the perfect man, as man is intended to behave. We're supposed to act like Jesus. We're supposed to act like Paul. That's what we're supposed to be. See? And so that's what he's telling us here. Now, so to live the Christian life, we need to hear God, do what he says, then God will move with power and signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do I get God to work through my life? Do what he says. Well, I did this and you didn't do anything. How do you know? You're not to evaluate. You're to do what he says. Amen? And so here is the whole... Now, this helps you to, you know, in evaluating a lot of things. So, if that is true, then Jesus would tell us that that's true, right?
Amen? Well, he did. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say. And these guys, when he told them, they weren't buying into this. They weren't buying. They're going, mm-mm. Okay, John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. No, listen. No, it's better you hang around. I don't want to do this by myself. You know. And he is crucified. You know, he is crucified, buried, and all of his disciples went in the room, locked the door, and anyone talks to nobody. He said, this ain't working. This is not working. See, and then he appears in their locked room. See. But here's a statement. Here's the statement right here. Now, here's the point, right? Is we are in the book of Romans, going through it. This is totally consistent with Romans chapters 1 through 14, especially chapters 1 through 8. It is totally consistent. What the 15 chapters have done so far is to explain how all this works. You say, I don't want to read this. Nonsense, you know, I just want to be forgiven and go to heaven. All right, you get your wish, you know. But there's so much more potential. I mean, think about your kids. You ever look at your kids, you say, you've got so much potential. Do something. You know, don't you see the potential you have? And they're sitting there. Right there. Well, that's what God's doing with us. He went, don't you see? Don't you see? That's what all of this is all about. That's what it's all about. And he's telling. I've heard somebody, I don't understand Romans 1 through 8. I'm not going to read it. All right. But you can't grow. You can't grow. You know. And by the way, it's not an easy read. It is not an easy read. But if there's a motivation like, no, I'm giving you the details of how this works. I'm giving you how this moves. Then it's like, okay, I'm going to go through this. Dear God, reveal to me, speak to me the truth here so I can be all you meant me to be. Amen? So here we are, totally consistent with Romans. And we have it in the Scriptures. And by the way, the Scriptures are God-breathed. The Scriptures are God-breathed. It's like God just, whoosh, there's the Scripture. So we open the book, read the Scriptures, and he goes, whoosh, and blows it on us. You see what I'm saying? That's what he does. That's what the Scriptures does. And that's what Paul's revealed to us. See, when Jesus appeared to the two disciples after the resurrection, he encouraged them by opening up the Scriptures. I mean, if that was me appearing to them after the resurrection, I'd look, dummies, here I am. Good grief. You never listen to nothing. You never pay attention. Look at here. Pinch me. But that's not what he did. He walked with them, and they said to one another, Luke 24:32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the Scriptures to us? So what Jesus does, he opens the Scriptures to us. We are to look in the Scriptures, and he opens up, and he speaks to us through the Scriptures. And that's how he works. He wants us to read the Scriptures. He points us to the Scriptures. He interprets the Scriptures. Now, he works through the Holy Spirit, brings things to mind, uses us, empowers us. But it's all based on the Scriptures. That's the reason we was walking through with the guys to Emmaus. And he says, you won't believe what happened. He goes, yeah. Here. And he opens up the Scriptures. I mean, it's just been like, look here. Yeah, that's not. He opened up the script. You see the point? You see the point? And I've done this. I thought, God, I just want to just appear to me. Just say something. Just appear to me. Now, he didn't say anything, but probably what he's saying. Read the Scriptures. Just read, and I will speak to you. I will speak to you. Now, so, hallelujah. We see what is happening. But this is a, you see the Apostle Paul. How many of us look at the Apostle Paul and say, wow? And we look at Jesus and go, super wow. But when they both say, no, Jesus, I'm just acting like a man supposed to act. And Paul says, I'm just acting like Jesus so I can act like a man supposed to act. And God goes, well, I'll work through Jesus and I'll work through Paul because they're acting in the way in which I created them to act. And they're coming to me and listening to me and doing what I say. And then I'm, when they do what I say, I will confirm what I told them. Amen? Lordy, these are powerful. Okay, again, it's Romans chapter 15. It's not Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 15. So Christians standing on the scriptures are equipped and able to instruct others or put in one's mind the truth. So I'll go back to my buddy Bill Wright. He would do this all the time. And again, his spiritual gift was not encouragement. It just was not. Okay. And it's like that. But he would share something with me like that. And I would like, oh my gosh, I never said. And then he'd go, now you're accountable before God. Before God, you are accountable. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. He just scared me to death every time. But he would. So I won't tell you, you are accountable before God. You can't claim ignorance anymore. No, you're accountable. You're accountable because of what the scripture said. You're accountable. You're accountable. Stand before this throne. Say, well, I never heard this. He goes, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You heard it. You just didn't do it. You know. And so here's the whole thing. So here we are, fully equipped. First Peter. Okay. Now, Peter was on the fisherman's side. He wasn't the college grad. Okay, Peter. But here's what Peter said. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks. That's the key. Be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Peter, he's on the same page. Did you know that Peter, I can't remember if it's 1 or 2 Peter, but he calls Paul's writing scripture. He's one of the Paul's writing all the, in that time, and the Apostle Peter calls Paul's writing scripture, the Old Testament, and Paul's writing. Peter calls it scripture. It's just interesting, a little tidbit there. So here we have that we won't be prepared. Well, how can we be prepared? Romans chapter 1-14. There it is. And now do what I told you. And if you do what I told you, then I will accomplish through you what I intended with all the power of God to do what God intends. I just need you to listen and take that step for what I told you to do. I'll take care of the rest of it. See? Amen? Pat, aren't y'all glad you're accountable? Accountable. So here we are. Our foundation for instruction comes from the truth of the scriptures concerning Jesus. That's our foundation. All this nonsense going around in the world, our foundation in the scriptures concerning Jesus. You know, all that noise doesn't count. It's just like Jesus said to us, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But, no. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know what it makes me think of when God appeared to Jesus on the Mount? And you know what God said to the disciples? What he said? He says, this is my son. He goes, listen to him. But listen to him. Why do I have to clean my room? Listen to me. You don't know my mother's coming over. Just do it. Listen to me. All right, you see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, aren't you excited? We're here. God is saying, you see all this coming together, but it's culminating in hearing God, and then God doing everything he did for Jesus and everything he did for Paul. In our particular spot where we are, as he gives direction. Amen? And his word is to you individually. You individually. The word for me is not necessarily the word for you. You see what I'm saying? So each person is responsible to spend time with the Lord, hear from the Lord, and do what the Lord tells them. I'll go to my buddy Bill Wright. Bill Wright. He said, never leave your house until God tells you what to do. It's like, now, I'll be honest. God bless it. That was God's word to him. Hallelujah. But if I took it to me, I'd never get out of the house. So it's like, okay, I'm working on it. You know, I'm working on it. So I do read in the morning. You know, I'm certain I don't hear a lot sometimes, but I do read. You know, and so I ask God for grace that I do read and, you know, help me out, and that I know that you control my day and I want to do it. But I'm just not where my brother Bill is. I'm just not. You see? So, but that's okay. I'm comfortable with that, you know. It's just me and God moving best I understand in the situation. Amen? Hallelujah. We should be really encouraged. We should be really, really encouraged. And God is excited about us. I mean, we should look at this like, no, I am doing something. I'm telling, I am moving. Be encouraged. And we see this nonsense around. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He said, no, I got you here. Just do what I say. Just do it. I'll take care of the nonsense. You just do what I say. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you. What you show us, it's just incredible. And as you open our minds to your truth, and you teach us every step of the way. And Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you show you who you are. I thank you that you love us more than we can ever imagine. And that you want to work through us in a greater way than we ever imagined. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray you speak to us. I pray you continue to open the scripture to us. I pray that each person walking away from here would be encouraged that you are interested in them for the best in their lives, in my life. Lord, I thank you for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.